Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome to another edition of News and Views. Thanks for joining us. A new report from the Annie E. Casey Foundation finds that investments in programs and services for children from birth to age 8 have huge benefits for the child and the communities in which they live. The news confirms studies of early childhood programs in North Carolina, like Smart Start and NC Pre-K, that have shown gains in student achievement and better life outcomes for kids who have been helped by the programs. All this comes as state lawmakers have slashed funding for early childhood programs in recent years. Here to talk about it is Tracy Zimmerman with the North Carolina Early Childhood Foundation. Well, Tracy, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me here.
Let's talk about the new report about how critical early investments are. Give us some background about what the report was trying to find.
Right. Well, basically, there's a lot of research out there now that shows that birth to 8 is truly a critical developmental time period, right? So there's a lot happening in that time from a brain development perspective, health, physical, and we need to really be looking about how do we develop the whole child so that they can be successful by the end of third grade. There's a danger, I think, there's a lot of focus on third grade as sort of like that's some magical moment in time. But the reality is it's sort of marking the end of a period where children are going from learning to read to reading to learn. And that's why it's such an important period. It also marks, is a big predictor of future academic success and future learning.
I want to ask you about specifically how to help the kids and what the study found and what we should do. But it's always fascinating, and this study pointed it out, that a lot of people just think that somehow kids are in a vacuum somewhere. And this report points out that they actually live in families that we need to support.
That's absolutely right. Kids are in lots of places from the time they're born till the time they enter school and go through school. They live in families. Parents need support, particularly when you look at where we are as a state at the moment. This report shows, I think it's 54% of our children birth to 8 are living in low-income families. That's a lot of stress on families, but also on children. And so we have to be aware of the environments in which they live and support those environments as well. It can't all be about what happens in schools. Schools alone cannot solve these problems.
And then let's talk about what this means for North Carolina's early childhood programs, the Partnership for Children, which folks know as Smart Start, NC Pre-K. What implications do you think this report has for those programs?
So it's really interesting, right? So the report shows, which decades of research have shown, that early childhood programs are really important in helping kids be successful. They make a huge difference in school outcomes and later outcomes. And our programs here have been a national model. We know that they do good things for kids. We had research out of Duke University, which specifically looks at those programs and shows that in counties that spent greater amounts of money and greater investments on Smart Start and what was then Mort 4, now NC Pre-K, when children were younger, those children did better on their third grade reading scores, third grade math scores, fewer special ed placements. So we know we have amazing programs in our state that work. They're just not working for enough kids. You can just imagine that if we scaled up those programs, what that might do.
One criticism from folks who aren't necessarily as strong as supporters of these programs, as we all wish they were, is that sometimes these gains that kids make that are in these programs through the third grade sort of fall away as they enter middle school. And they sometimes use that to blame the programs that, I don't understand it, but that's sort of their reasoning. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think there are two responses to that. One is, first of all, what we do see out of those programs, even when you see what some call fade out, is that in life outcomes, you don't see that, right? So those kids are still ultimately more successful in graduating from high school, going on to higher education, higher earnings, paying more in taxes. So in terms of life outcomes, they're doing better with those programs. The other part of that, I think, is the obvious one, which is the problem is probably not happening in those early programs, but what is it that we need to do to be strengthening the school system so that those gains can continue academically as well? And that's part of what comes out in this report as well, is that it's a birth to eight continuum. We tend to operate a little bit in silos. There's not a lot of connections between what's happening to kids before they enter school and after they do begin kindergarten. And that's a false divide for children.
It's also interesting, I guess, that you could argue that the risk factors that make kids need these programs don't go away when they're 10 or 12 years old. So we have to figure out how to help their families at the same time.
That's absolutely right. When you live in poverty, the impact of that doesn't change at all. When your parents are struggling to find work, you know, when you're not sure how the bills are being paid or whatever the stresses in life might be, those do not go away. And there's a lot of interesting research that's coming out about toxic stress and the impact on brain development, as well as just the impact of poverty on brain development, which I have found really fascinating and alarming and something we really need to pay attention to.
Okay, let's talk about what, if you were a policymaker, you would take from this report. What would be the messages you would get?
The most important messages from this report are the fact that we have to start younger and invest younger. We have to look at the whole child. NC Pre-K and Smart Start are fantastic programs, but in and of themselves, they are not going to solve the problem. We have to look at where children live, the environments in which they come, how we support families. We have a lot of really good programs in North Carolina that we have really led the nation on, and we need to think about how do we scale those up. At the end of the day, these investments pay off tenfold. I mean, there's no doubt about that. When you have a Nobel Prize winning economist who's coming out, he doesn't need to be spending his time looking at, you know, what are the benefits of early childhood investments, but he has. And what he has found is that we get the greatest return the earlier we invest. I also want to add that, you know, we also have things to build on. We've done some good things, and our policymakers have done some good things too. In recent years, we went from in our childcare subsidy, we now have requirements that childcare subsidy has to go to higher quality care. That's good. The attention on third grade reading, it's good. It's good that how we get there, we need to really focus on. But the fact that we're thinking about these things is really important.
And I need to ask you before you leave about your reaction to the Supreme Court's ruling about NC Pre-K in connection with the Leandro case. What does this mean?
That seems to be the million-dollar question, right? What does this mean? I mean, I'm not a lawyer, and what I take from it is that the decision itself seems to just say, hey, the last 2 years of legal back and forth didn't happen. It didn't happen. But what it doesn't change is the fact that there are kids who need and greatly benefit from strong early childhood programs like NC Pre-K, that they do have a right to be able to access a sound basic education, and that we have to figure out how to deal with that.
It's interesting that some of the coverage of this sort of acted like, oh, now North Carolina doesn't have to provide NC Pre-K, but the court was just looking at a narrow legal issue, and I guess nothing prohibits the General Assembly from doing this, whether the court requires it or not.
Well, that's absolutely right. At the end of the day, for legal decisions aside, we have decisions to make about the future we want for North Carolina. And what we do know about programs like NC Pre-K, programs like Smart Start, things that invest in young children from in that birth to age continuum, is that they produce tremendous results. You know, if you don't want to take my word for it as somebody who firmly believes, obviously, in early childhood, I think it's fascinating that we're at a time where we have top military generals forming an organization to say, hey, early childhood investments are so critical to our national security that we are coming together to use our voice, right? That's mission readiness. You have lawmakers from across the country doing the same thing, saying, if we want to reduce crime, if we really want to make a dent in this, we have to invest more in young children. Business leaders. So you don't have to take my word that these things are really important. We have, you know, our national leaders coming together from all political backgrounds, demographics, saying the future of our country, and I would add our state, are in direct relationship to what we do for our youngest children.
Well, those are great words to end on. Thank you very much for what you're doing. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, the implications of the rising cost of college. Stay with us.